Received a PhD in Islamic Theosophy from the University of Qom, where he studied under many highly renowned scholars. In 1992, Sheikh Lighai traveled to Kano, Nigeria, to provide religious services to the Shia minority there, where he founded the Educational Center of Ahlul Bayt. In 1994, after returning to Iran, Dr. Mansour Lighai traveled to Australia, where he spent the next 16 years in the service of the Islamic community there, including but not limited to establishing the Imam Hussein Islamic Center in 1997. In 2010, Sheikh Lighai was unjustly deported, a deportation which received international criticism after a decade of legal battles from Australia, and currently lives in Iran. Dr. Mansour is the founder of eHawza, which is an online Hawza program that allows students to receive a diploma in Islamic theology and is accredited by the Al-Mustafa International University in Qom, Iran. The eHawza contains extensive resources, including over 500 academic lectures in English by Sheikh Lighai, as well as over 5,000 pages of written resources. With that, brothers and sisters, please welcome Sheikh Mansour with a loud and heartwarming salawat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا ابن القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Respectful scholars, brothers and sisters, young and old, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you very much to Brother Muhammad for the introduction. Lest I forget, may I invite everybody to, inshallah, share the reward of recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, dedicating it to the soul of the great man for whom we are gathered here, inshallah, this afternoon, with salawat ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah, we benefited from the previous scholars, and particularly the choir group really brought tears to my eyes and reminded me of the days that we used to have similar occasions in Sydney. Inshallah, you've taken your afternoon nap and ready for the last speaker. I don't know, for some reasons, that's my destiny. Wherever I go, I'm always chosen to be the last speaker. They massage and they really exhaust the audience. And then they drop it to me, give it to me for the last speech. But at least the good news is that there's no more speaker after me. The topic that was suggested to me is preserving our Islamic identity. Before I begin in advance, I need to really mention that in dealing with this topic professionally with a think tank consisting of a group of experts, both in Western and Islamic color and cultures, it is my honor and privilege, if such a panel ever is made, to be a humble member of that. But this afternoon, inshallah, with this limited time that I have, I share with you and I touch on only one aspect of how we can preserve our Islamic identity and tell you, inshallah, and warn you how our Islamic identity is in great crisis. A simple glance at Muslim communities residing in the Western countries easily suggests that their Islamic identity, in a subtle way, slowly but unfortunately quite surely, is getting dissolved and is being dissolved in a melting pot of Western, instead of Western, even I prefer to call it, in secular societies. Parents can give their testimonies that the generation gap is getting bigger and bigger. The jargon that our children use, the dress code, the ideologies, things that they care about, all of which make up one's Islamic identity, is really changing to the wider community. And in fact, inshallah, as I will demonstrate it evidently this afternoon to you, they are making an environment for our children in such a way that things that to us as the first migrant generation or those who have not even migrated to the West yet or have not been influenced by the Western and secular culture yet sound horrible, but to our children it's just a norm. And when moms, dads, they are telling them that, son, you should not use this language, you should not come so late, to them it's normal because they are desensitized. They have gone through a process that they call it the process of desensitization. No longer they are sensitive to the issues of you, what you call it, like having a boyfriend or girlfriend, coming home late, or what you dress, how you have your haircut, etc., etc. The reason for that is that the process of mind changing starts from very early stages of the lives of our children or whoever is living in such societies. From where we put our children into childcare centers. Even if we don't put them in childcare centers, we bring, as I tell you sometimes, the education of childcare centers, we bring them home ourselves and we play the CDs ourselves at home. We all know that the education system is where the indoctrination process begins. Alright? This is where our children, from very early years of their lives, they learn how to sing the songs or some nursery rhymes, such as "Old MacDonald had a farm." Okay? And I'm kidding you not, I know many moms that they even put their kids to sleep with that, even if they don't learn it at the childcare centers. I don't know about the States, but in Australia, now so many childcare centers, they accept and they can provide facilities for babies. I was telling one of them that from hospital to the childcare center, and then hand them over to the kindergarten, primary school, all over. And what the parents are doing, you just pay us. You just go to work, earn money, and we look after your children. And I tell you that in every educational system, brothers and sisters, there is always a hidden agenda. Impossible to have any education system without having any agenda behind it. I don't know if you're familiar with Andy Griffith's children books. He's an Australian author. His books, not only in most of the Australian government schools are found in the library, but even children are encouraged to put his books in their library bags. Not only that, they are forced to read the books. And I'm ashamed even to mention the names, some of the names of his books. Parents, educationists, those in charge of the education of the community, I urge you, because I know that this man is one of the best sellers both in his native country, Australia, as well as North America and perhaps some other English-speaking countries. And ironically, this man is chosen as the, what do you call it, an award-winning writer. The names of his books really let alone the context of his books, and all are for the children, primary level children. His books are really breaking down human morality, let alone Islamic morality. Alright? He names some of his books things that we don't like our children to utter, pronounce these words. This is the trend that I'm telling you that. So there is a subtle and gradual trend towards changing the mind of the next generations, Muslims or non-Muslims. With this trend, children first start some songs, and I'm so naive when they ask me that, Sheikh, what's wrong with listening to these nursery rhymes? I look at the lyrics and I say, well, it doesn't seem anything against Islam. What's wrong with Black Sheep, with Old MacDonald and stuff like that? Jews, permissible, and move on. Not knowing and not being able to read what is between the lines. As they grow older, then they start memorizing the love songs. As they go to high school and university, amazingly, even when they are learning science, as Sheikh Osama very correctly put it, they are learning science, but look at this, gravitational law, no longer they accept it as a fact, because they say we don't know where the gravity is coming from. But when it comes to Darwinism, It's a fact. Why? Because presumably, which is incorrect by the way, the idea is that Darwinism denounces the existence of God. When they go to the uni and study law, the only law that they learn is the law of the land. The common the law and things like that. Again, to denounce the law of God. So this idea is creeping into our community slowly and gradually. Subhanallah, there is an ayah in the Quran that every time I come across this, I really have a goosebump. To me, this, and of course, all of the ayat of the Quran are miracles, and hence are called ayat. This ayah is definitely one of the miracles of the Quran. It's so fresh, like as if it is revealed today. Although, unfortunately, more than 10 translations of the Quran, English translation of Czech, none of them picked up the point in the ayah that I want to share with you, inshallah, with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The ayah is in Surah Al-Mumtahana, chapter 60, ayah 2. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that ayah warning the Muslim community all the way until the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ يَثْقَفُوكُمْ يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءً إِنْ يَثْقَفُوكُمْ. Check any translation of the Quran that you have. The typical translation that they tell us, the translators, is that should they have an upper hand over you, they act not as your enemies. This is part of the translation. The accurate translation of the ayah lies under that very important warning of yattafukum. Yattafukum, brothers and sisters, especially if you have a bit of Arabic background, you appreciate it more, is from the root of taqifa. In Arabic, we have al-thaqafa. Many of you maybe have heard of this. Al-thaqafa means education, culture. Taqifa, it means when you creep, when you go into something slowly but intelligently to make a change. Making an intelligent change into something. And hence, education in Arabic is called al-thaqafa, culture and education, al-thaqafa. Why? Because an educationist is the one who intelligently goes to childcare centers, educational centers, Islam, or any primary school, to any educational institution to make a change, to educate children, as we say in the simple language. The Almighty God here in the Quran says that so far as they write your curriculums, so far the disbelievers, they write the books for you, so far they make the songs for you, not like this anashid that our children sang in Alhamdulillah today. So far as it is their songs, remember, if they have an upper hand in education over you, make sure that they influence you. What you love at Furoon, the end of the ayah, was part of this is that the main aim and objective that they have is that they wish for you to become like them. Another ayah in Surah Al-Nisa, again, this is so related to what you want, about our identity, to see where we live really. This ayah I say and I urge you, inshallah, to bless your mouth and this gathering, repeat it after me. Short ayah, but please, this ayah is one of the ayat. If there is any ayah for those who reside in the West that they need to say it every day as their spiritual daily diet, this is the one. This is the one. I say one word by word, please. Repeat after me. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Waddu law takfurun. أما كفروا أتكونون سواء. Translation. They wish for you to reject faith. Reject faith as they rejected faith. I heard it myself in a talkback show that the commentator of the radio program, he was saying that we are called Judaism. We archived Christianity centuries back. We rejected them. They no longer in reality exist. The problem still is you guys, you Muslims. Fatakun, they want you to reject your faith, to disbelieve in your faith, as they disbelieve and rejected their faith. Fatakununa sawa'an, and you become all the same. Again, let me narrate to you from the horse's mouth. Some years ago in a Catholic academy, I was running a course on Islam. In one of the sessions, the topic was about the modest dress, hijab, Islamic dress code. During the Q&A, one of the ladies got up and she asked me, she said that, why can't your ladies dress like us? Why can't you Muslims be like us? I continued her question. I said, lady, how far do you want us to be like you? Dress like you? Drink like you? Go to the pubs on Friday afternoons like you? Have boyfriends and girlfriends like you? Come out of closet like you? How far? Subhanallah, exactly what see 1400 years ago Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, that is their wish. That is the main aim and objective. وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُونَ. So they want to influence the educational system. Now, since post 9/11, a new plan was designed against Muslim communities across the globe. And inshallah, I want to be very objective and evidently speaking to you this afternoon. Between 2003 and 2006, in various Western countries, Imams conferences were held. Conferences called Imams conferences, referring to our spiritual leaders. It started in North America, went to Europe, Austria, some other European countries, and as usual, Australia is quite behind from its counterparts. In 2006, September 2006, it came to Australia as well. In a luxurious hotel in Sydney, the Imams Conference was hosted and funded by the then Australian government. All right? Over 100 Imams were invited from across the country. And subhanAllah, that conference, and I said it then, that conference reminds me of the Nicene Council, if you're familiar with the Christian history, where the then empire influenced, and that idea of Trinity was injected into Christianity. More than 100 Imams were invited to that conference. A parliamentary secretary representing as the spokesman of the government addressed the Imams. Imagine that more than 100 Imams, sheikhs, scholars, Muslim scholars, directors of Islamic institutions and Islamic centers are sitting, and the parliamentary secretary, Honorable Andrew Ruff, is addressing the crowd. It's a public information. And I really urge you, brothers and sisters, if you want to really know what the plan is, I know about the Australian version of it. I told you that it happens in other countries, but at the same time as well. In that address, the parliamentary secretary, he says, and I quote deliberately word by word from his official website, "You Imams have the opportunities to explain to your community." To explain what? Subhanallah, exactly what Fir'aun was telling his community. "Inni arakum ma'uri." I want you to see how I see it. I want you to understand Islam as I understand it, as we understand it. Subhanallah, 3 decades ago, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi referred to this as American Islam, secular Islam. And there are some, I know them personally, that they call themselves, "I'm a secular Muslim." "I'm a secular Muslim." How ironic, how funny. What is this? This is what they want you to become. To become a secular Muslim. I tell you how. He continues, he says that, "You Imams, you educationists, you the head of the Islamic education in your area, you have the opportunity, and we want you to explain to your community that the true expression of Islam is not in conflict with Western way of life. It's not in conflict. So you guys, you Imams, you have the responsibility to explain to your community that, for example, when it comes to hijab, it's an option, not an obligation. And by the way, for the time being, until we tell you that no longer you've got that option left anymore, you've got an opportunity to explain to the youth that it's fine, it's just another way of lifestyle to be homosexual. It's fine to have boyfriend, girlfriend, no? Mom, I'm 17, what's wrong with coming home after 1 o'clock? Mom, everyone at work goes to, I don't know, to pubs. We have to meet up with our boss, build relations. Sheikhna, we are living in this country. We have to blend in at the end of the day. You have to justify all of this. As the imam, you have a responsibility to show that Islam is compatible and is not in conflict with Western way of life. One. Second, the relationship anyone of any faith, and I'm quoting word by word, the relationship anyone of any faith has with their God is a one-to-one relation. It is a personal commitment. Don't bring it to work. Don't bring it to school. Don't bring it to the streets. Sister, you want to dress? Dress as you wish, at home, inside your mosque. As we have kept Christians practicing Christianity inside their churches. Sunday go to church, that's it. Even the priest comes out of the church and we're civil. And I have friends, like priest friends, that his daughter wanted to take photo with me and I was so embarrassed, man. He is the daughter of a priest, a man of God, look at her dress code. That's normal. And by the way, he told me that she's got a girl, a boyfriend as well. They want us to be fatakumuna sawa, and they want the next and the third generation imams and sheikhs also to have that kind of lifestyle. This is the Western lifestyle that they want us. Third, one of the most fundamental aspects of our democracy, I'm quoting the parliamentary secretary, one of the most fundamental aspects of our democracy is the separation of state and church. Separation of state and church, subhanAllah. Really, how can we admire, how can we thank God ever enough that we live in a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Imam Khomeini to us for the resurgence of the true Islam, as he referred to as Islam and Muhammad. He said, wa ala Muhammad, wa ala Muhammad. Separation of state and church is the most fundamental aspect of democracy. You know what does it mean? It means that if you want to talk about the unity of state and religion in the form of Walayat al-Faqih and the authority of the jurists, you talk against democracy, my friend. You're a dictator. And you imams, remember, you imams have the responsibility to interpret Islam in such a way that the state and church are separated. The state and mosque are separated. Okay? You do whatever you want to do inside the mosque. Leave the affair, the political affairs to us. And look at now this hypocrisy, so-called democracy. I'll tell you so, you will see the hypocrisy in his speech. That he himself, soon after, he says that we are happy to support you in that. My friend, if it's a religious matter, leave the church to the church people. Why you politicians put your nose into it? We are happy to support you. And I'll tell you how they support it in Australia, in North America, in Europe, and everywhere. Inshallah, I share with you the evidence for that. Then, he quoted some of the ayat of the Quran. Brothers, sisters, the one that I recited about and explained about in Yathakukum, Surah Al-Mumtahana, was one of them. Are you surprised? He quoted some of the ayat of the Quran, and then he says that it is, and he emphasized on that, it is your duty that strong denunciation and correction of these verses is one of your fundamental responsibilities. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. Alal Islam as-salam. The day that a sheikh, a religious leader, a Muslim scholar, a mom wants to denounce an ayah of the Quran to please his government, and shamelessly look at what they tell us. Strong denunciation of these ayah is your fundamental responsibility. We are demanding that from you. So you've got to revisit your original source. Run courses, explain to the new generation, to the naive new Muslims, that hijab is an option. Moderate drinking is fine, and you name it. And then he announced how state and church are separated. He said that the government has approved a $35 million grant, I repeat, a $35 million grant to support what we told you. Any of the Islamic institutions, any of the imams, and they handpicked some imams and provided them grants lavishly. Few days soon after that conference, look at the result of it. So immediate result of it, that the head, the president, who was a handpicked president of AFIC, Australian Federation of Islamic Councils, you must have similar body in the States as well. The president of AFIC, in an interview with one of the famous newspapers in Sydney, shamelessly he attacked naive and Muslims who blindly follow their faith, look, and failed to question the veracity and the accuracy of the Quran, saying that even Muhammad has flaws. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has flaws and mistakes, because there is a grand waiting for me. And since then, what we experience is a race on self-declared sheikh, self-declared mujtahid, self-declared ayatollahs. Come on, just in Australia, $35 million is pumping into this project. All right? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I just noticed the time is running short. I have only a few minutes left. I just wanted to share with you what is really threatening our Islamic identity, brothers and sisters. Muslims living in the West, they have this big challenge, the challenge of going through the process of desensitization. In conclusion, I want to share with you two words, humbly and respectfully. One is for my brothers and sisters in general, the general public Muslims, refer to them as laymen, whatever, no, or ordinary people. My humble request, serious request, and inshallah we are present in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God is my witness for that. Ya Rab, bear witness on delivering this message. Please, before you invite me typically, before you invite any speaker, before you read any publication of any so-called sheikh or scholar, make sure you check his credentials. Make sure you know who he is. Youngsters, my dear boys and sons and daughters, I urge you, curiosity killed the cat. Not just for the sake of curiosity, every publication is worth reading. Check the credentials of the person that you want to invite, you want to listen to, you want to read their publications. All right? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in explanation, interpretation of the ayah in Surah Al-Abbas, I think, فَلْيَنْدُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِ. Man shall look at the food that he wants to consume. The Imam says that, see, even a cat wants to eat, smells the food before he eats. You choose which cuisine you go to. How come that when it comes to your knowledge, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, عِلْمُهُ الَّذِي يَأْخُذُهُ عَمَّنْ يَأْخُذُهُ. You should be selective where you get your knowledge from. Your knowledge is your spiritual diet. It affects your way of thinking. So my humble suggestion to the general public of Muslims residing in the West, in the East, in the Middle East, wherever, we are in such a crucial time of the history of Islam that they have made a plot against us to make sheikhs versus sheikhs, ayatollahs versus ayatollahs, marja versus marja. چون بسی ابلیس آدم روی هست هست به هر دستی نشاید داد است. No shake hand with any Tom can Harry, as we say. This one. The second side of my conclusion, and with this, inshallah, I'll wrap it up and thank you for your patience, is my humble suggestion to my colleagues, the imams, sheikhs, directors of Islamic centers and Islamic educations, please, please and pretty please, this is not the time of one-man show business. There's an intelligence against us. Super intelligence is working against us. I stretch my hand to you. Please give me a hand. Let's work together. Let's put our heads and hands together It is only then that we can really tackle and fight this cultural campaign, educational campaign against us. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin wa ala aswatikum.